Stand, let's pray. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, that you love us. Help us tonight to grasp how deep is that love, and help us to respond to it rightly with lives dedicated to your service through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Please sit. And today we reach the fifth in our Way of Life series about developing a pattern for our Christian lives on earth. We've looked at the need for devotion and holiness and witness, and now we're going to consider our need to serve one another in love. So if you've shut your Bibles, please open them again at today's first reading from the Epistle of John, chapter 4, page 1160. Our focus today is on the command to love one another in verses 11 and 21. The three reasons John gives for why we should love one another, and something of what that will look like in practice. So, the first reason we should love one another is because God himself is love. Verse 16. It must be the most famous saying in the whole of the New Testament, isn't it? Even those who've never read the Bible know it says that God is love. So it's a shame, such a shame, that love is a word which has become so devalued in our society. For many people today, it means no more than mere emotion, either romantic, sexual, or sentimental. When such people become Christian, they may find their assumptions about God's love have to change, because God's love is no mere emotion. Nonetheless, the sentence is still true. In the best and highest and proper sense of the word, God is indeed love. Love originates from the eternal nature of God. Love is integral to the very being of God, which means that all God's activity is marked by love. When he creates in love. When he saves in love. When he judges in love. When he says no to us in answer to prayer, he says it in love. For God's love is a love which cares about right and wrong, about justice and righteousness. It's a love with very high moral standards. It's a holy love. That means sometimes it has to be tough rather than indulgent. Like a parent caring for a small child, our Heavenly Father knows what's best for us. And sometimes love means he has to insist on it. What's more, holy love is so fundamental to God's character that anyone who is a child of God should and will begin to reflect that love. It's a key principle of Scripture that God's people are to be like him. In order to help us fulfill that principle and live rightly, God gives us laws, laws designed for the good of all people. Jesus summed them up like this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those laws are there to protect us for our good. After all, God created us. He knows us through and through and through. He knows that lies and theft and greed and adultery and hate and so on always end in tears. And so he tells us to avoid them. To act against his laws is to act against our own best interests. Yet still we don't always find it easy to keep them. We are to love each other with the same kind of love as that with which he loves us, with love which is holy and tough, not careless and indulgent. Have you ever tried to love anyone with a perfect, holy love, whether God or fellow human? Don't you find that you're repeatedly prone to impatience, irritation, thoughtlessness, selfishness, boasting, pride? And that's just with people we like, never mind the ones we don't much like. Real love, godly love, is only possible if we're in close contact with the source of that love, that is, with the Lord God. We simply cannot love of ourselves in the way that he requires. So the first reason why we should love one another is the eternal nature of God himself, who is the source of all real love. The second is this, verses 11 and 19, because God first loved us. Verse 11, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. And how has God first loved us? Well, look at verse 10. He sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Or as we read in the Gospel, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. One of the chief characteristics of genuine love is that it enjoys serving its object. Because God loves us, he serves us. He, God, serves us. And his chief service was in sending his only Son, Jesus Christ, to live and die and live again for us. That word, atoning, means satisfying, reconciling. It points to a process of bringing together, literally making one, two beings who were previously estranged. So an atoning sacrifice, or in the old language, a propitiation, is one that brings sinners and God back together again, one that satisfies God's requirement for righteousness, and thereby one that restores friendly relationships between us and God. Jesus was sent by his Father to deal with the sin that separates people from a holy God, to be that final, perfect, once-for-all sacrifice for sin, the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. So it's in Jesus, at the cross, at Calvary, that we see the fullest expression of God's love. Love shown in practical, self-sacrificial service, in service offered to the undeserving. It's Jesus dying instead of me. Jesus dying that I might live. In normal human love, the person loved is in some way attractive to the lover. And still, we can find it hard enough to love them. But on the cross, Christ loved the unlovely, the most unattractive. 3 days later, that same Jesus Christ conquered death and rose to new life. He is still alive today, this very morning. By his risen life, Christ can give us new life, eternal life. God's love is no mere emotion. It is costly, self-sacrificial action. I would guess I'm speaking to a mixture of people this morning, from those who are only just discovering the wonderful truth that God loves them, to those who have known it for many, many years. From those who have a deep assurance that though undeserving, they are indeed loved by God, to those who constantly doubt God's love for them. John is saying we can all be absolutely certain of God's love for us. It's as if he's saying, never, never forget what Jesus' love means to you. It is there in the nails and in the scars. And it means you are no longer guilty. You are cleansed. No longer powerless, but alive by the Spirit. No longer living in darkness, but living in light. Children of God, on whom the Father has lavished his abundant love. The way to eternal life is open. Nothing more is necessary. God has done it all for you in Jesus Christ. Verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And we are to love each other with the same kind of love as that with which he loves us. Not mere emotion, but with holy, tough, serving, self-sacrificial love. And the third reason why we should love one another, that's there in verses 12 and 17. Because it completes God's love in and among us. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And verse 17, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. God's love is unconditional. He loves everyone equally. And God's love is compassionate. He knows our human weakness. We are to love each other with the same kind of love as that with which he loves us, with holy, tough, serving, self-sacrificial, unconditional, compassionate love. Our Heavenly Father wants to give everyone eternal life, abundant life. That is not just life everlasting, but life of a whole new quality too. Life with purpose, life with meaning, life centered on knowing the Lord God in a personal relationship. Life in which it's possible to experience, to bathe in his deep, steadfast, unfailing love. Life without fear of judgment. For, verse 13, we have the Holy Spirit within to assure us of our salvation. And verse 14, we trust in Jesus, the Son of God and Savior of the world. And verse 16, therefore we know and rely on God's love for us. And verse 18, God's perfect love casts out fear. Confidence and maturity and boldness in faith come from knowing God's love in Christ and sharing God's love within the Christian fellowship. Confidence and maturity and boldness in faith come from using not only our heads and our hearts, but also our hands, our feet, our eyes, our tongues for Christ in love for one another. Indeed, there is something incomplete about God's love until it is allowed to flow out from us to our Christian brothers and sisters, and out from them to us. You see, the demonstration that I love God, whom I can't see, is that I love the person in the pew whom I can see. It's not enough just to say we love our fellow Christians. It has to be visible in our deeds and our words. For verse 20, if we say we love God, yet hate a brother or sister, we are liars. If we do not love a fellow believer whom we have seen, we cannot love God whom we have not seen. Of course, our love for one another is as yet far from perfect. But the beginnings of love for every one of our fellow Christians is a great reassurance that we do indeed belong to Christ, that we are indeed for all eternity children of our loving Heavenly Father, that we need not fear judgment to come. Abundant life, eternal peace, perfect love are what God is offering in Jesus Christ to every single person on this earth. It's the sort of life most thinking people want for themselves, and yet, strange to say, the Lord God is often the last place people look for real love, their very last resort in the search for real love and real life. After all, how can people believe in one they cannot see? The only hope for a lost world is for God to become visible. 2,000 years ago, he did so in the person of Jesus Christ, who revealed God's love to the world. But God has also chosen another type of body through which to reveal himself and his love, the body of Christ, the church. Now that Christ has risen and ascended to heaven, God's love can be seen in his people, if we love one another. In other words, our love for one another is a witness to the unbelieving world of God's love for them. While he was on earth at the Last Supper, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this shall all people know that you are my disciples." As people observe our Christian fellowship, so they see Christ in us. God's holy, tough, self-sacrificial, unconditional, compassionate love in and among us. It may be love in little things, like talking to someone who's lonely, being kind to someone who's hurting, spending time with someone when it's not really convenient. Or it may be love in bigger things, like standing up for persecuted Christians in public, or fighting for the rights of poor Christians in Syria or Sudan. Do you know the words of Teresa of Avila? "Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he is to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet through which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless people now. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us love one another. Amen."